we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE today, September the 11th, 2018. And boy, that's a day that now lives in infamy, as a number of things have happened on September 11th, going all the way back to 2001. I don't know if you remember where you were the day that the towers were attacked, but I do. And I was kind of helpless to be able to be of any support to my family that day. I was actually, I'm on a 2-week spiritual retreat where I'd gone to a revival, and I was going to spend a week in the North Carolina, there on the beaches of North Carolina. I had a friend up there who let me stay up there for a week. And that's where I was headed. September the 10th, my car was broken into, and so I was stuck in Charleston, South Carolina, and was leaving court the next day. And that's when I began to hear on the radio all of the stuff that was going on with the planes being attacked. And it was actually when I was in the car when the second tower was attacked, and then as I was driving and they collapsed, and we should remember that and always be vigilant. We want to remember the tragedy, but we also want to make sure that we learn from that. And the lesson that I want you to learn is we need to be ready. A lot of those people were going to work just like they had gone to work every other day, some of them in the same building for a long, long time. Some of the firefighters and the first responders, that was just another ordinary day for them until it became anything but an ordinary day. And that was a day thousands of people got up thinking it was a normal day and was actually the day that they were promoted into eternity. And so I want to encourage you, be ready to meet Jesus at any given point in time. Don't procrastinate that. It is not something that you can afford to procrastinate for a very long time. So, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program, and we are getting closer and closer to our 5th anniversary. We started doing the radio program in late October of 2013, and here we are now in 2018, 5 years, and, It's quite a journey, and we're thankful. I continue to run into people that have heard the program, who listen to the program on a daily basis or on a regular basis, and we're just so thankful that we get to bring you the Word of God, encourage you, lift you up, be a little bit of a refreshing 30-minute period of time in your day to get you started off well, or if you're listening on the drive home, to put you back in the proper frame of mind if you've had one of those days at work. So with that being said, today we are going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to again touch on this elevated concept that Jesus is raising to his listeners about the appropriate way to pray. And so we don't pray with vain repetition. We don't pray to be seen by people. We pray so that we will be heard by God. And verse number 8 is where we'll begin reading. We've already touched on this. And we'll read verses 8 through 15, where it says, "Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Or another translation says, from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So let's touch on just a couple of things here. Jesus has already said that we are not heard for our vain repetition. And what many people have done with the Lord's Prayer, as it is left for us here in Matthew chapter 6, is they've taken this powerful prayer and they've made it nothing more than vain repetition. Now, please understand, I think it is a powerful prayer. I love this passage of Scripture. But just being able to quote these words is not going to accomplish anything for us. We need to learn how to pray. So let me talk about this first. It says that when in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father. Jesus had just spoken to them in verse number 8, and he says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So I want to start off by beginning to give this point of reference as to how we identify God, and that is, he is our heavenly Father. In this world, many of us, not myself here, but many people do not have a great example of what a father is, what a father does, how a father loves, how a father acts, how a father behaves. Many people do not have that. That is a social tragedy. It is a horrible reality. It is a societal problem that we need to do our very best to rectify. And so, please be more concerned than just about your happiness. Be concerned about what kind of impact that you can make on your family and on the kids in your neighborhood. Paul addressed the situation and said, you know what? There are a lot of teachers, but there's not that many spiritual fathers. And so not only do we need an earthly father, we need a spiritual father. We need a father who is there, who will love us, who will allow us to grow, who will entrust us with things. We need fathers who will lead by example instead of just by dictate. We need fathers who are going to be godly in their behavior. And many people have a very deficient role model of what a pastor or what a father is supposed to be. And for those people, when you address this concept of God being our Heavenly Father, they automatically default to all of the flaws, all of the blemishes that their father had. My father wasn't perfect, isn't perfect. I'm not a perfect father. My son's not a perfect father. But my goal is that my son will be a better father than what I was. That's my goal. And I want to set the bar high. I want to be the best father that I could be. But, you know, there's nothing that I can do about the father that I was 30 years ago. But I can do a better job of being a father where I'm at right now. And so if you do not have a good role model as a father, I don't want you to try and just whitewash that over there. I just want you to realize that God's not that person. God is not just a supernatural version of a flawed human being. It's exactly the opposite. God is the perfect father. And we as human beings just do a poor job of reflecting the perfection of God. So let's do a better job of that. But if you had a bad father, maybe you had an absentee father, an abusive father, a criminal father, an alcoholic father, a drug addict father, a lazy father. Maybe you had all of those. Maybe you had a father who didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Come to God and say, God, you know what? My home life wasn't everything that I wanted it to be, but I don't want to hold any bitterness. I don't want to hold any resentment in that situation. And I want to look to you, God, would you show me what a father is supposed to look like? Show me how a father is supposed to act. Would you be my father? You know, that's what God says. He said, I will be a husband to the widow, and I will be a father to the fatherless. And so many times we just look at that, the fatherless as people whose dads have died. But I want to mention this to you, is that if you had a person in the home and they did a lousy job of reflecting the goodness of our Heavenly Father, say, God, I want to thank you that you're going to make up for any lack that I've had in my life. So he is the Heavenly Father. I tell ladies, you know, y'all are measured by the Proverbs 31 woman, and that's a pretty tall task. I said, but that's nothing compared to what we're measured up against. As a man, I'm measured up against the Heavenly Father. And I'm always going to come away looking bad in that situation. I just want to come away looking better this year than I did last year. And so Jesus, he says, your Father knows, and your Father is in heaven. God has perspective that you and I do not have. He's got the perspective of eternity past to eternity future. He's got the perception of every weapon that has been formed against us. He has the perspective that he is able to share with us the timeless principles of his word that will set us up for success and not for failure. He is an omnipotent father. An omnipotent father. That means he can do anything. He is an omniscient father, and that means he knows anything. And so Jesus is setting them up, and he says, I want you to understand that when you pray our Father in heaven. And he was saying, you have the same access to the Father that I have. And many times we want to put all sorts of excuses and things like that as to why we cannot accomplish things in this life. But I want you to know that spiritually, we are part of the same household. I know a number of people that have adopted a large number of kids. Some of them have biological kids, and then some of them have adopted a number of kids. Some of them have adopted internationally. Some of them have adopted a lot of foster kids. And, you know, not one time have I ever heard of those situations where the person says, okay, the biological kids, they have access to the refrigerator, but the foster kids or the adopted kids don't. That's not the way the homes operate. I don't say to one of my kids, well, you can get anything you want out of the fridge. You can use anything in the house that you want. And then say to the other kid, no, you're not available. They're all adults now anyway, by the way. You don't have access to this. You don't get to turn the ceiling fan on in your room. You don't get to turn the light on in your room. You're in an electricity deprived environment. That's not the way it operates. And so Jesus comes along and he says, your Father is my Father. And so when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Okay? Heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is a place where there is no sin. So there is no evil agenda that God has in store for you. There's no hidden agenda. I was recently contacted on Facebook Messenger. There was a person who was utilizing the face and the name of a person that I know. But as the conversation went on, I could tell that the person who was communicating with me was not that same person. And so because the behavior wasn't indicative of the person that I know, the communications weren't indicative of the person that I know. I said, you know what? We're going to delete this conversation right here and right now. God makes it very clear in His Word as to who He is and how we should behave towards Him. He is our Father. Now, I will tell you in 2018 that society has a very dim attitude towards fathers. The fathers that you see portrayed on television are nothing but laughingstocks. There's no wisdom there. There's no morality there. There's no self-restraint. They're just a bunch of sloths. You know, this is an overgeneralization. If you found a good example of a father on television, chalk it up, mark it down, and celebrate it. But for the most part, they portray men as a bunch of bumbling idiots. And nowhere do they ever demonstrate a man who loves Jesus. So, guys, let me tell you that if you want to lead well as a father, be a person who courageously serves God, who courageously and steadfastly, faithfully follows the commands of your father. If your kids see your passion for God, then they are much more likely to be a passionate follower of Jesus Christ as well. And the percentages that I'm talking about are not little. There are massive percentage increases of what a family looks like if the father is leading the charge of righteousness. Okay? And again, we're not going to get it perfect every time. But the idea is that you and I have a Heavenly Father who is worth following His example. And I want to be a person who lives my life with as few exceptions as possible to this statement, that I lived my life in a way that others would want to follow Him as well. Okay, I want there to be very few. Say, don't do that. Don't do that. I've got a few of those things. My kids know them. I said, do better than I did in this area. Do better than I did in this area. And my kids are all doing absolutely wonderful. And so I'm very thankful for that. He said, therefore do not be, this is verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, is so concerned about us that the Bible describes that He knew us in our mother's womb. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. He knows the number of our days. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the color of the hairs on our head. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. He knows the steps that He has ordered for us throughout the days. He knows everything there is about us. Not because He's a stalker, but because He is a compassionate Heavenly Father. He keeps an eye on us even when we don't realize that He's got an eye on us. And it ought to make you and I very, very confident in our relationship with God when we realize that He knows what we have need of. If you were to boil down prayer for most of believers throughout America, I'm not going to include the rest of the world, but throughout most of America, it would boil down to this. We spend most of our prayer time telling God what we need. Okay? Now, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, you're going to see that there is a component for that. There's an area for that. There's a time for that. But why would we spend the bulk of our time telling God things that he already knows? Instead of spending that time enjoying the presence that we have with the Heavenly Father. One of my favorite stories in the scripture is the story of Esther. And Esther is made aware that the Jewish people are assigned to be destroyed. Haman had set up a dictate through the king, and everybody was going to be killed. And so Mordecai makes her aware of that, and she fasts for 3 days. She has Mordecai fast. She has other people fast. And she says, I'm going to go into the king, and I know I'm not supposed to go in uninvited, but I'm going to go into the king, and if I perish, I perish. And so she went in, and the king saw her, and the matter of the royal court came to a screeching halt, and he saw Esther over there, and he said, what would you like me to do for you up to half the kingdom? And I don't know about you, but when I've got a death sentence hanging over my head and everybody I know has a death sentence, you know, I would want to cut to the chase and get right to it. But Esther said, would you and Haman come to dinner? I'd like to invite the two of you to dinner. I mean, she invites her husband, the king, to dinner, and then invites the architect of her own destruction to the dinner as well. And the king says, we're going to adjourn for the day, and let's go get ready for dinner. I'm going to have dinner with my wife tonight. And so they sit down and they have dinner. And after dinner, the king says, Esther, what would you like? What would you like me to do for you? Up to half of the kingdom. And her response was, you know, this has been so wonderful tonight. Could we do this again tomorrow? And I promise you that when you come to dinner tomorrow, that I will answer the king's request. What can you do for me? She spent 2 days making huge preparations, but they're just enjoying the presence of her husband. You say, well, where are you going with this? All of this time, the enemy is right there. He's plotting her uncle's death, Mordecai's death, and so she serves the second meal. She's enjoying this dinner, and the king says, now, what can I do for you? And she said, would you spare my life and the life of my people if it had just been, you know, me, if it had just been an isolated thing, I wouldn't even have troubled you with this. But this is about the annihilation of my people. And he said, who dares to lay a hand on my queen? And she said, he's right here. His name is Haman. And at that point in time, the king is not a happy camper. You say, why wouldn't she just present the case right there in the court? I'm telling you that our spending time with our Heavenly Father is worth more than just getting a simple need met. I'll also tell you this, from the human natures that I've dealt with, that as soon as people get their needs met, the pressure is off for their intensity in getting to know and fellowshipping with their Heavenly Father. I'm sure that there are a huge number of people who are listening to this broadcast right now, and they would say, you know what? I wish I could spend just one more day, have one more conversation with my Father. And, you know, my dad's birthday was not too long ago. I should be getting to see him here in the next few weeks. And, you know, I've been working. I've been working my schedule for quite a few weeks, and I had this conversation with him not too long ago, where he was saying, well, why are you doing that when you've got you've told me that you've got things, you know, pretty well plotted out for a couple of weeks. Why do you need the pressure? And I said, well, my mom and dad are coming to town, and I thought that he might want to spend some time with me, and so I needed to carve some time out of my schedule because I want to make them. You see, I'm so far away from my parents, I never know when the next time that I see them would be the last time that I would get to see them. And so I want to make that time. Prayer is we as God's people making a priority of the greatest relationship that we will ever be blessed with, and that is knowing and loving our Heavenly Father, who knows everything that we have need of before we ask. How big is your Heavenly Father? Well, I can tell you this, that the devil was no match for your Heavenly Father. With just a word, he was expelled from heaven through his death and burial and resurrection, through the death of Jesus Christ. The devil was a defeated foe, and all of his works were defeated. I'm telling you that you can have great peace in the competence, in the goodness, in the compassion of your Heavenly Father. You are loved. One of the things that I love to do as a father, okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. This is one of the favorite things that I get to do. I love getting to express public displays of affection, giving my wife a hug, putting a piece of jewelry on her, giving her a kiss on the cheek, or walking, holding her hand. I love to do that when my kids are watching. I mean, I love to do it, period, but I love to do it when they're watching, because I'm showing them an example of how their future husbands will love them, should love them. And I'm also giving them an idea, hey, I love you just this much as well. And so I want you to know today, God's not an absentee father in your life. He's there for you. He wants you to know him, and he wants you to know he's got everything all under control. Happy September 11th to you. I know it's not a celebratory event, but have a great day in Jesus. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.